Dave Moore on Today FM.
Joining me right now is the wonderfully hilarious Vogue Williams. Not only is she a brilliant podcaster, entrepreneur and presenter, she's also an incredibly talented author now. She's here to talk about her brand new book, Big Mouth. Vogue Williams, can you believe you've written a book?
Delighted with myself. Delighted it's out. The stress is kind of off me now because I was terrified. I was so worried about how people were going to take it and everything like that. And it's just been, I'm feeling a lot of love, and it's very unexpected and very nice.
Well, rightly so, because I read it and it's so good. And it's, as you say at the beginning, it's not an autobiography. And I guess it doesn't feel like a traditional autobiography. It's just hilarious and heartfelt stories all the way through.
Yeah, I would rather, only because an autobiography, I don't know, it feels really like old school, and I just don't feel like I'm at a point in my life where I should be writing an autobiography. It's more like a collection of stories from my life.
Yes, which is definitely what it is.
Said a different way.
Yeah, which in fairness, but there's plenty more time to write the memoir, which will, you know, you can do that in another 40 or 50 years, but now we can get a couple of these stories out to everybody. Listen, some of them are so brilliant. Can we start with how attention-seeking you were? Tell everyone about the plaster that you stuck on your forehead.
No, we were just talking about, we were from the same area. I grew up in your area till I was about 7.
Yeah.
Me and my sister would cycle around the dunes in our knickers, and that's it. Just back in the day. And then sometimes I might add a plaster to my head or my cheeks, so somebody would ask me if I was all right.
Because already cycling around on your knickers wasn't enough attention. You had to have the potential injury as well.
It was a great place to grow up.
It was. I'm bringing up my kids now. I have 2 10-year-old twin daughters. If either of them cycled around in their knickers, Vogue, there would be serious trouble.
It's getting warm enough now. The weather's getting warm. You might see them out and about that long.
They've done far worse, but usually in the back garden.
Yeah.
And come here. So you did. So Portmarnock is where you were originally, then Sutton, yes, and then Howth. And as that went along, there was a gradual kind of increase in wealth as, you know, things in your life changed and whatever.
Yeah.
You were never really, even when like you were in the big, giant 2-pool house in Howth, you weren't really comfortable with that stuff, were you? Like.
Well, I'll be honest with you, because I was like, will I write about it? And then I was like, no, and it's just, it's quite entertaining to me, because I grew up in Port Marnock. We didn't have a lot of money for a long time. My mom didn't have a car and stuff like that. But when you're younger, like, we didn't really notice it. Mm. We didn't, like, I don't remember feeling like anyone had anything more than I did. And then my mom met my stepdad, and we lived in a 3-bed house in Sutton, and then it kind of was upgraded from then, and then it was upgraded again. But when we got to the big house in Howth, which I pretended I could afford to buy there recently, and I went to Beauty.
Really? Just to see. I thought I was the only one who did that. That's so good.
Then I tried to get in next door, because there was a really expensive one next door, and he was like, you're pushing it now. Like, I know you don't have that money.
And was it kept in, do you remember it? Like, was it like you remembered it then?
It, honestly, the kitchen was the same. Everything was the same. It was absolutely stunning. But it was like, it was this amazing house, but we weren't allowed to do anything. My stepdad was really strict. And so we'd come home from school and you'd be in the house. And even like, we weren't allowed out at night. All my friends would be hanging out after school. But his reasoning was, you've got this house, you stay here. This is like your playground, whatever. Yeah. So we kind of, in that sense, it wasn't great, because we just wanted to quit hang out with our friends and be down the village with them.
Yeah, you see, lots of the book is basically you and your sister Amber and the trouble you guys got into. And there was plenty of that.
There was endless. And when I wrote it all down, I was like, God, I feel a bit feral.
Did you run anything by Amber before you hit publish?
No, but she tried to question some of my
your memories. Okay,
and she's like, oh, with your teeth, you think you knocked out 4 teeth? That's not what happened. You fell on the step. And I was like, Amber, you were not there. Yes, I fell on the step, but I had a bar in my hands when I was, again, looking for attention and pretending I couldn't walk.
Yes.
And then I fell on the bar and it hit me in the face and knocked out.
And then you actually had something that you could talk to people about at that point.
Then I got a lot of attention. I just had this black mouth. I remember going to some supermarket with my mom crying and everyone just looking at me shocked.
Oh my God. Yeah. But Amber was okay in the end with the stories recounted.
Amber was good. I was very worried because I'm so close to my whole family, like all of them. We hang out all the time, and I just wanted to make sure that I wrote them down as they were. I didn't want anyone to get offended. I wanted everyone to be happy, and it all passed through legal. So tough luck if they don't like it. Ned.
It all passed through legal. But listen, one thing I do love in the book is some of your stories about how much you love sleep, because we are kindred spirits on this. Now, hang on though, but you take it to like the nth degree. Tell everyone about like setting alarms in midnight out in nightclubs.
Oh, no, that wasn't come my on. Finest hour.
Come
to
on,
be fair. Now, I used to love a night out. Like, my mom was like, and to be honest with you, I genuinely don't drink that much. I don't like the taste of alcohol. No one ever invites me to the pub. But if you read this book, you'd be like, wow, that girl likes drinking.
She's a party girl. Yeah.
I was a bit of a party girl growing up, but I used to go out in a nightclub, and I'd still be like this today. I couldn't bear to miss something going on. Like, if I was at a party with somebody, unless everyone was going to bed, I'd be like, I'm not leaving.
I was always on a sleepover, I was always the last one to go to sleep. Always.
Yeah, I just never wanted to miss anything. So when I'd be out, when I was like 18, 19, I used to get a little worse for wear, and then I'd set myself an alarm and I'd go to the toilet and I'd just sleep for like 20 minutes instead of just, it's like, go home.
No, you couldn't possibly miss out. How long were the naps like?
Well, I tried to just keep them to 15, 20 minutes, but then once I didn't wake up. And I know I didn't wake up, and then I was woken up by the bouncers at something like 4:30 in the morning in Crawdaddy. I was bad. That was the end of the nap. I thought, this has gone too far now, no more.
And how are you now with sleep? Is sleep still one of your prized possessions?
Absolutely adore it. So yes. I love sleeping. That's why I have a love-hate relationship with Yellowstone at the moment, because I love that program so much. And I'm like, but it's keeping me awake at night. So.
Well, listen.
I don't know.
I have one of these Whoop bands, right, that measures everything. Yeah. And last night, this is no word of a lie, I got into bed at about 7 p.m. Now, look, I get up at 5:30, but I never go to bed. I'm usually bed at 10 or 11 or whatever. Went to bed at 7. I got 10 hours and 22 minutes of sleep, folk. I'm buzzing today.
Say you don't know. Now, I'd be worried I wouldn't get enough sleep tonight now because you had too much last night.
I'm so exhausted. I'm fine. I've got 4 kids and I go up at 5:30. I can sleep at the drop of a hat, so it's absolutely fine.
I do one day a week of that, and on a Sunday I'm like, I'm going to bed at 7 and I'm just going to sleep. It's so good for you though, sleep. You sleep a third of your life, just make sure it's a good sleep.
I love that advice. We call it a sleeper thruer if you go to bed, because it's, so if it was early enough, you might actually go for a nap and get back up, but if you can go all the way through, outrageous. Vogue, look, I've known you for a long time. Like, I'm not surprised that this is so funny and so heartfelt, and it deals with, you know, everything that's going on with you. But like, it is brilliant to see it written down and to see, you know, your personality come through in words. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, do you know, because I loved writing the book so much, but when I was writing it, because in my mind, or when I talk to people, I'll be talking about something and then I'll go off on a rant and then I might go back to what I was talking about. And when I started doing that, I was doing it with my writing, and I was going to take it out originally, and I was like, no, because that's kind of how I veer off subjects. So I've kind of left them in the book as well. Well, you'll be confused.
Confused, but delighted, I would suggest. Let's talk podcasting. Like, this obviously has changed your life, I would imagine. It's
massively.
Not something that you were probably thinking was going to be this big in your life, but you have three podcasts, a brand new one that's not that old at all. But obviously, you know, most people will know you from My Therapist Ghost and me, yourself and Joanne. Like, isn't it such a brilliant thing that you can sit down with a mate, have a conversation, and then that becomes something that people want to just consume more and more of?
I think it's kind of wild, because like, we genuinely, neither Joanne or I thought that it would do what it did. I was doing a podcast at the time with my husband, and that was doing quite well. And then Joanne and I started it, and then she started noticing a lot before I did, because she was out in the club and she was gigging and stuff like that. And then it kind of just took off. It's still wild, and I'm so glad that like, I got into podcasting, because I think people thought I was a bit of a loser before. They had this idea of me. Fair enough. I'm probably a bit annoying online. And then I did the pod and they're like, oh, that's what she's like.
Yeah.
So it was really good in that sense. I'm just so happy that can be my job and that I get to do what I get to do, because I love it so much. And it's going to work and having a laugh. It's what it's all about.
I couldn't agree more. It absolutely is. Now, how Vogue and Amber obviously has taken the place of Spencer and Vogue. Is it ever going to be Vogue and Spencer and Amber? I mean, is this going to evolve again?
Excuse me, Spencer left. So yes, that is his own problem now. No, Spenny's more serious than us. So he kind of wanted to focus on his more serious podcasts. And I'm not that much of a serious person. And he's mad about like his health and fitness. When you mentioned the Whoop earlier, if I have to hear his Whoop stats again, honestly, he tells me, he's like, oh, I got a green recovery today. I'm like, that's fantastic. Tell me about your sleep and that's enough.
That's enough. Fair enough. Oh, listen, this thing is wasted on me because all I get is like another week of sleep success. Can you push it even further next week? I'm like, yes, I can. More sleep for me. No activity.
The only thing is you're a bit insulted when you've had a drink. It's like 2% recovery.
Yeah, totally. Like, oh, God. Yeah. No, a lot of people I know, not looking at anybody, Cathal Minogue sitting across from me, remove the band when they're going on a night out.
Oh, you little snake.
Sneaky Cathal. Yeah, I know. He's cheating the system there.
Related to Kylie?
He likes to tell you he's related to Kylie Minogue. He's not really, but he tells everyone he is. Your book is called Big Mouth.
Yes.
You know those games where like you put something in your mouth and make sure I don't have one of them and I'm going to use my fingers.
I know them.
But what I'm going to do is, right, I'm going to take, you put a brilliant thing at the start of your book, which is an English-Irish glossary, like a dictionary, because obviously a lot of your audience will be not from Ireland. You're going to use words that we Irish people use that maybe they won't understand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull the corners of my mouth apart to make mouth as big as I can. And then I'm going to say some of the phrases that you have in there. Now, don't be cheating and looking at them. See if you can guess them from what I'm doing, right? Okay, so. I'm just going to look really good on camera. Your man is in bits. What's that?
Your man is in bits.
Yay! We got one. Brilliant. Okay, try this one. Stop the lights, you ringer.
Stop the lights, you minger.
Yes. Okay, last one.
Come here to me, go and shine.
Yeah, 3 out of 3. Unbelievable.
That's now, my favourite thing. And let me get one.
Get one out of the book.
My mouth is so big, it won't make any difference to me, so just hear me like normal.
Trust me, if you stick your fingers in it like I did, it will definitely be weird. Go on.
Tanura.
What?
Fanula.
Fanula. Okay. Yes. She has.
I'm aware it's someone's name, but I have described it as something else in the book.
Yes. Everyone can go and read the glossary. Ladies and gents, get your hands on this Vogue Williams Big Mouth. It is absolutely brilliant. Vogue, thanks for taking the time. Congratulations on the book.
So much fun.
And we'll catch up again soon. All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.